I've been rather good to be here, and the project should continue, Mitzvah Hashem, and should have slapper. Now this share is entitled Eternal Reward and the Parachuting Phenomenon. My brother went to a share once, Erev Purim, entitled Purim and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. And he was listening to the shiur, waiting for the motorcycle maintenance, and at the end of the shiur, the closing words were, and if you're wondering what this has got to do with motorcycle maintenance, let's all tune up for Purim. Well, Belina, I'm not going to pull a fast one on you, and there will be slightly more relevance to parachuting to the shiur which we have today, Mitzvah Hashem. So we're now started to make Shmir Sa'omer, and we're marching towards Kabbalah Satera, Shavuos Be'ezras Hashem. Now, the Yemei Tzviyos HaOmer have two very, very strange, seemingly, inyonim connected with them. On the one hand, the Yemei Tzviyos HaOmer are Yemei Avelus for the death of the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, which Chazal tell us, Lo Nogu Kovid Zeh L'Zeh. The reason why they were killed is because they weren't, they didn't apportion the proper kovid to each other. And on the other hand, we have the Yemei Tzviyos HaOmer, which Chazal tell us, are 49 days of preparation for Kabbalah Satera. Now, Chazal tell us that in the Mishnah in Ovis, the Mem Kes Tzvorim Shatera nicknames by him, and these 48 ways, the Balei Musa and Chazal tell us, a person, each day of the Tzviyos HaOmer, he should work on one of these middos, Miat Sheino, Miat Sicha, and on the 49th day of the Tzviyos, he should work on all of them. And do Chazara, and then he's ready for Kabbalah Satera. So there's a special time during these weeks of Yemei Sfira which are conducive for Aliyah and Ruchnius, and conducive in a special kinyan of Torah, which will enable us to be Mekabel Torah properly at Har Sinai. Now, is there any connection between the Yemei Avelus and the special days which are conducive for Limud Torah? Well, I had a Gevaldik shot from Ravida in Bnei Brak, and he brings a Gemara in Erech and Tesvov on the base. The Gemara says like this. It says, Omer of Chama Bar Chanina, Masaka Notish on the Sapre Loshon Hara. What is the Takona for people who speak Loshon Hara? Im Talmud Chokom Hu Yasik Batera. You see, even a Talmud Chokom can speak Loshon Hara. Well, he shouldn't be, but he could be Nikshal. Im Talmud Chokom Hu Yasik Batera. And it says, if he's not a Talmud Chokom, he should Yashbal Daito. But if it's a Talmud Chokom, you should Yasik the Torah. So the Gemara here says that for a Takona in the Avera of Loshon Hara, Limud Torah is what is the remedy for it. Now, what's the root cause of Loshon Hara? The root cause of Loshon Hara is Simas Chinom. If a person entirely satisfied with his own Aliyah and Ruchnius, and he's content in his own Avodah, so he has no reason to speak about anyone else in a derogatory manner. It's only because he feels lacking in his own avodah that he feels jealous of someone else, and that comes out. It transforms into the avera of Lashon Hara, and he starts speaking about other people, jealousy and other things. But the root cause is sinas chinam. It could be, suggests Ravida, that the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva on a very high darga, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu judges them kachut asara, and during these Yemei Sfira, which are specially conducive to Aliyah in Ruchnius through Limud Torah, it could be that these Talmidim didn't utilize this special time as much as they should have, and because they didn't utilize this special time, that's why they were, as the Gemara says, the remedy for Loshon Hara is Limud Torah, i.e. Limud Torah protects you from Sinas Chinam, and it could be that because they didn't utilize this special time between Pesach and Shavuos for Limud Torah in the way they should have, that's why they became lacking. It metamorphosized in a way which they were low nogu kovod zeh l'zeh, and I could have brought to judge them kachut asara. So it could be that was the connection. That's the connection between the Yemei Avelus in the Yemei Tzviyos HaOmer with the death of the Talmid HaChachamim and this special time which is suitable for Aliyah v'Torah. So it turns out we're in a tekufa at the moment which is crucial and critical for Aliyah and Ruchnius the whole year round. In fact, we're marching now and we're preparing for the great day of Kabbalah Satera itself, which the whole world was created for, Kabbalah Satera. Now, at this time especially, it's kedai to take stock of What exactly is at stake here? The Chofetz Chaim is a gewaltige moshel to explain our predicament in Olam Hazeh and what this Kabbalah Satir is really all about. He says, once upon a time there was a man who was on a ship, and there was stormy seas, and he got shipwrecked. He ended up on a hugging onto a piece of wood, and his clothes were torn, and his cuts and bruises all over his body, and he ends up on this island. And he has amnesia, can't remember where he came from, can't remember who he is, and he wakes up on this island, and he's very thirsty, and he says, water. And as soon as he utters the words water, some people come running towards him, and they give him a cup of ice cold water. And then he says, something to eat, and before he knows it, there's another few servants come running towards him, and they give him something to eat, tropical fruits and everything. And as time goes on and his wounds heal, he starts enjoying himself, and he realizes very soon that he's king on this island. And all the people, the thousands of people on the island, are all his servants. And he's not asking any questions. And they give him a whole string of wives and a big palace and a throne, and he's sitting there having the time of his life. And he's not asking any questions. He doesn't remember still where he came from, where he's going. At the moment he's king, life is good. One day, the butler comes in and serves him his royal breakfast. And as the butler's leaving, he says to the butler, one second, butler, close the door. Well, yes, your majesty, what can I do for his majesty? He said, look, forget all this your majesty thing. I just want to know what is going on. I've been wondering. I came to this island. You don't know who I am. I don't even know myself who I am. I've arrived on this island and I'm king. What's going on? So the butler gets a bit of a shock and he makes sure the door's very closed and the windows are shut, and he says, I'll tell you the truth, you're the first person to ask. He says, what do you mean I'm the first person to ask? He says, ah, well, you see, I'll explain. You see, this part of the ocean is a very stormy part of the ocean, and very often we have shipwrecks. And the tradition of the island is that whoever lands on the island on a piece of wood, just like you did, will become king. And we have to do whatever he wants. So he says, oh, it's marvelous. Brilliant. Is there any catch? He says, yes, there is a catch. Now that you ask, it only lasts for 12 months. He says, what do you mean? He says, well, after 12 months of you being king, we then take that piece of wood, which we've kept very carefully in a glass cabinet, we put you back on the piece of wood, we dress you up in the clothes you arrived on, and there's a couple of guys who are going to give you the cuts and bruises which you arrived on as well, and we send you back out to sea. He says, well, you can't swim back, because then the whole island is going to start throwing spears at you. He says, I've got vault. What on earth am I supposed to do now? So he says, the butler says to him, well, I've been waiting for someone to ask, and since you've asked, I'll give you some advice. If I were you, you've got thousands of servants who are willing to do everything that you want on this island. Start building ships, and you build ships, and once you've built these grand ships, start stripping the island from all the wealth which there is, the gold, the silver, the diamonds, even take the fruit, take everything. Then put all your family, your wives on there, put all your servants, in fact, put all the people of the island on there as well, they'll all be your servants. Leave a couple of people behind, and at the end of the 12 months, when the time arrives, so they'll give you back a piece of log, you put back your clothes, your ragged clothes, they'll give you a few smacks, and you'll swim back out to your ships, and then you'll sail away, leaving those couple of servants on the island. So, if we were to ask anyone, what would this guy do at that time? Would he sit back again in his throne or on his large four-poster bed and smoke another cigar? Of course not. He'd jump out of bed and he'd start immediately taking stock of the situation and start building these ships. He'd get his first in command, build the ships, and he'll start instructing everyone to strip the island from all its wealth. So at the proper time, a person in this world is very similar to this guy. A person arrives in this world, he can't remember where he's come from, and he doesn't really know where he's going to, and he arrives naked, with no possessions and anything. And as time goes on, he starts looking around, and there's sun and trees, and there's food and there's drink, and he starts having a good time. And he doesn't ask any questions. Why? Life is good. But there's a few people who suddenly start asking a few questions, and they go to Chazal and they say, what's this all about? And Chazal tell us, ah, you're the first person who asked. If you want to know what it's really all about, it's not going to last forever. It only lasts for 70, 80 years. You may be saying, and after that, you're going to leave this world with whatever you've got, which wherever you put onto the ships. So what's he going to do? He's going to start building the ships. He's going to start exporting all the wealth of this world. The wealth of this world of the mitzvahs, which we're mamish treading on with our feet. We're treading on a room with diamonds. I remember I once spoke to a bach and I told him, I said, he wanted a more graphic explanation of this sort of situation. I said, if you had 10 seconds inside a room and there's diamonds on the floor, and whatever diamonds you can push out the door in 10 seconds, you're allowed to keep. I said, if you imagine this guy, let's call him Tommy, and after 2 seconds, he accidentally gets shot by a police marksman in the shoulder. And his arm really, really hurts. And what's he going to do for the next 8 seconds? Well, he's going to start pushing out the diamonds with his other hand. And what happens is two seconds after that, he accidentally slips and breaks his other arm. Well, he's going to keep kicking them out with his legs. And what happens is 2 seconds after that, he breaks another leg. And he's got one leg, and two broken arms, and one broken leg, and he's got one leg ready. He's still going to be kicking out the diamonds. And let's go to the extreme. He's got 2 seconds left, and he's got another broken leg suddenly. And he's got 2 seconds, and he's lying there by the door with the diamonds at his head. What's he going to do in those last 2 seconds? Well, I haven't met anyone yet who's going to say, well, he's just going to rest and rest in his agony. For those 2 seconds, he's going to try and head those diamonds out the door. Why? Because he appreciates, he sees the diamonds in reality, and he knows that whatever diamonds he gets out the door, he can keep, and that is what inspires him to go through those 10 seconds of agony. So if a person would ask in a Shomer in Shomayim that you have 70 years compared to eternity, is it worth it to do the Torah mitzvahs even if it was agonizing? Every neshama which can clearly see eternity, we can't, this world is very hard for us, but if you think about it, logically, the fraction of 10 seconds to 70 years is a bigger fraction than 70 years to eternity. What do we mean? The Mesillas Yeshayim says a very profound thing. He says that this sefer which he wrote is there are a few chedushim in it, and it's just to remind people what they know already. We see from here that a main facet in Avodah Hashem is to remind a person of something which he knows or which is already poshut. And Rav Chaim Levenstein gives a gewaldige mashal to this. And he says, a person thinks, what's eternity? A mitzvah, a person does a mitzvah, he shakes a lulav, that mitzvah which he's done creates a malach, and that will last for eternity. What is this mitzvah which lasts eternity? How can one even comprehend eternity? Rav Chaim Levenstein says, he said, if you can imagine the room you live in, and the bedroom which you sleep in, and you pile it full of rice, grains of rice, and now take the whole street, your whole house, and fill that with grains of rice, and then fill every house in the street you live in with grains of rice, and then fill the whole town, the whole of London, fill it with grains of rice, now fill the whole of England, 2 miles high, with grains of rice, and now fill the whole world, cover the entire planet Earth with grains of rice 2 miles high in the sky. That's a lot of rice. Those are Chaim Levenstein. Now imagine a bird would come once every 50 years and take away one grain of rice. How long would it take for all the rice to be removed from the Earth? That's from Chaim Levenstein's moshul. A person thinks that's a long time. You should know, say Chazal, that when you shake that lulav, when you eat that matzah, when you make that brocha, the mitzvah you do lasts longer than it will take the bird to remove all the grains of rice. Now we're starting to get things into perspective. Now, what's this going to do with parachuting? A very good question. A few years ago, I asked a dine in B'nai Brak, Ben Azmanim, could I go parachuting? And I told him that the instructor had done 4,000 parachute jumps. He said, if so, there's no problem. It's no different getting on an aeroplane. By the way, he's since retracted his heter because of the Yisuf Kibbutz Avayim. But at the time, he let me do it. And I did 2 parachute jumps. Now, what happened was a very interesting thing, which is why I justify now doing the jumping out of the aeroplane. The person gets up there on the plane, and he's ready to jump, he arrives at 9 o'clock, and at 5 o'clock he jumps out of the aeroplane if the weather's good. And as you go up there on the plane, you do shiver, you see the ground and the little trees there, and the doors open and it's very windy, and then he counts down, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then you jump. I'm not sure if it actually pushed me out at the time, I can't remember. And then you're out on the aeroplane, and hopefully the parachute opens up nice and square, and for 4.5 minutes you're floating down. Now, after the experience, the ordeal, I spoke to people and described them what had happened, and they looked at me in amazement and said, "Were you not scared for those 4.5 minutes? How could you do that, floating around there, above the ground, not knowing, 4.5 minutes? And the truth is, they don't realize that I was terrified out of my wits for those 4.5 minutes, holding on to this parachute, but there was nothing I could do about it. The only thing I could really get credit, so-called, for, is the actual second the decision I made to jump out of the aircraft. And in my case, I was probably pushed anyway. But the second when I actually jumped out, that's the only thing I can get credit for. But people don't think of that. People will give you the credit of the COVID, those people who give COVID to these things, for the 4 minutes you are flying through the air. But they don't realize that has nothing to do with me. That was because I put myself into that situation. For example, a person wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, there's two ways he can go. He can either walk, or he can go by aeroplane. Now, besides the ease of going by aeroplane, there's another profound difference. Once he's got, if he walks to Eretz Yisrael, at any point in his journey, he can turn around and go back home. So he's in a sakona that he's not going to complete the job during the whole journey to Eretz Yisrael. However, once he gets on that plane and the plane takes off, there is nothing he can do, of course, unless he's got a parachute. There's no way he can change his mind. By hook or by crook, that guy is going to arrive in Eretz Yisrael. Now, this is one way in Avodas Hashem. I'm going to Mitzvah Hashem, going to speak about two profound ways in Avodas Hashem how a person can actually utilize the Chochmah to drachim to make an aliyah and avodah Hashem, especially during this special time, which is Masugal for it, in the Yimei Sefira. There's an interesting Gemara, which I think relates to this, concerning Rabbi Akiva. Everyone knows the story. Rabbi Akiva married the daughter of Ben Kalba Savor. He was a very, very rich man. Rabbi Akiva is an Am Haaretz. And the Gemara in Kesuba, based on the base, says, Rabbi Akiva raya'd Ben Kalba Savor hava. Chazita Barata Bavatsaniya Mali, Rochel, Kalba Savor's daughter, saw that he had good midas, and she saw his potential. But he was a complete Am Haaretz. And she said to him, if I marry you, will you go to the Bei Rav? And he said, yes. And we know the story. He came back after 12 years, and he heard his wife speaking to the neighbor and saying, well, if it's up to me, he could go back for another 12 years. And he turned straight around and went back to yeshiva. 24 years, Rabbi Akiva was in yeshiva, and he came back at a Zohar Gadol. Now, the Gemara there says that his father-in-law, Ben Kalba Savor, made a neder. He was so furious that his daughter had done such a thing and agreed to marry an Am Haaretz. He made a neder that he's not allowed to have any of his in the potin. And he was a very rich man. When Rabbi Akiva came back, he came back to the town where his wife lived after 24, with Wallor's Talmidim, with a great covered. And then Kalba Savor realized that he made a tremendous mistake. And here you have the God Lazar coming back, and he's his son-in-law, but I've made a neder. Now, if you make a neder, you have to be meishal on the neder. You have to ask a hataras kochom. You need to make a hataras kochom to be made from the neder. But you're not allowed to. The Tosafot says as follows. It says, so he made a neder and he went to the Rav and said, can I be made from my neder? I want to give my nechosin to Rabbi Akiva. And they said, if you knew he was going to be such a talmud chochom, would you have made a neder against Rabbi Akiva? He said, no, not even one posuk had I known he would learn, I wouldn't have made such a neder. But I was so sure he would stay in Am Haaretz. The Tosafot says that, 1 second, there's Neilad over here, and you're not meishal on Neilad, because when he went, he wasn't a Talmud Chacham. There's got to be some sort of yad, some sort of pesach to be made for the neder. Some sort of excuse, like, had you known this, would you have made the neder? He said, had I known he would have been a Talmud Chacham, I wouldn't have made the neder. But the Maisa, at the time he went, there was no trace of him being a Talmud Chacham. So that's called Neilad, says Tosafot. How could he have a Hatorah for his neder? The Yesh Leimer, the Hocha Lo Choshev Neilad, Kivin Shehalach LeBei Rav, since he went to the base of Medrash, the Derechu, Baholeich Lilmod Shenaisa Odom Godel. It's the Derech that someone goes away from home to learn Torah, Shenaisa Odom Godel. So even at the time he made the Neder, he should have known that at the end of the day he's going to Yeshiva, and the Derech is that someone goes to Yeshiva Naisa Odom Godel. In fact, if you think about it, what did Rachel say to Rabbi Akiva? She didn't tell him, if you go and learn 24 years, I'll marry you. She said something very interesting. She said, if you remember the Loshon, she said, will you go to yeshiva? Right? She didn't say, will you learn there day and night, and will you steig, and will you promise to go to the Sedarim? Will you go to yeshiva? Why did she say that? Because she knew the parachuting phenomenon, which I will call it here, that all she needed to do was send Rabbi Akiva to the Beis HaMedrash. Once he got there, she knew he would succeed. With the Chochmah, if you do one thing where you put yourself into such a situation, then you can guarantee the success of and it turned out Shalima Shalachem Shalohi, that was, which Rabbi Akiva said to her, was all because she said, will you go to the yeshiva? She didn't start giving a whole long list. I remember I was once speaking, I know one case of a bocha who had a problem with nivel pei, who came to yeshiva, and his loshen wasn't the correct loshen which a ben Torah should speak. And what did he do? In an instant, he cured himself. In front of his friends once, they were sitting around a meal, and one of his friends said something not fitting for a ben Torah, and this guy, of all people, he said to him, come on guys, we're in yeshiva now. And they all laughed at him. What you're telling us? They all laughed at him. Now, what happened after that? Never again, for those 3 years he was in yeshiva in front of those friends, could he ever utter another word of nivul peh or anything but the purest of loshon. Why? Because he did that thing, b'chokhba. He put himself into that situation, and from then on he was guaranteed success. He knew there was no way he could start speaking, I'm becoming a bocho, because they'd laugh at him even more. And he was scared of the scorn, and he put himself in that situation. Now, a person's got to be very careful not to overdo it, because you have to use this b'chokhma. A person can put himself into a matzav where he's of extreme avodah, and he burns out, and he gets depressed. I'm not there. I'm not where I was. So a person has to use the b'chokhma. But an example, that case of nivul peh, there's no danger for him except his own embarrassment, and that's a case where it works. So a person, the b'chokhma, can use this to make his own aliyah and ruchnis. Now, there's another gemara, a Gevaldige Gemara, which is very famous, made into a song, Tanya Amar Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. Now Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha was the Kohen Gadol. And he says, Pamachas nichnasti lahatif teres lifnai velifnim. Once I went to be makif teres in the Beis HaMikdash, Roisi ha-kasrikel ko Hashem tevokesi, so ha-kodesh poruchim, med ha-kodesh poruchim in the Kodesh Kodshim. So Yeshev al-kisei ron benisa, v'amar li Yishmael ben Ibarcheni. Yishmael ben Elisha, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, said, Bani Barcheni, give me a bracha. Amar Tilo, Yehirotzim ulfanecha, Sheyich Bashir Rachamecha, Es Kasko, Yogayl Rachamecha, Omidisecha, Visisnaigim Bonecha, Bemidus Rachamim, Visikonei Flem, Lifnim Mishur Asadim, a whole long tefillah. Veneli Bereisho, and we learn from there that the Mashmalon Shleitu Birkas Hedget Kalabay Necha. So he met HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Kodesh Kodshim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Barcheni, give me a bracha. What does he do? He gives a whole long tefillah. A whole long bakasha. Now, the Rashba explains, he says, Agav, that the Lashon Brach is the Lashon of Ribui. Let's see the Rashba in the Agadus there to explain this Gemara. So I asked Chaim Berman in Ponovich, I said, a Kodesh Baruch Hu told Yishmael ben Elisha to give him a bracha, to give a bracha. He could have said, Baruch Atah Hashem and Akinim and Avam Shah, told me a bedvar, something like that. But instead, he gives a whole long tefillah. And Chaim Berman answered me with a tremendous yisod. Some people think they make a big mistake, when, especially when they fall in ruchnius. Why did he have to do that to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why did he do that? They get the impression, Kaviyacho, oh, he's out to get me. Ah, it didn't work out because of this. It didn't work out because of that. It's your fault. People, the sultan gets into people's minds, and convinces them that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want a person to succeed. The truth is adaraba. The greatest rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that every person goes lamaila lelamaila in ruchnius. But the situation is a zoi. What happens is, in Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting on the Kisei HaKavod, and he has these bags of Siyata Dishmaya laid before him. And the Tzaddiks in Olam Hazeh doing his Aveda, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushes down a bag of Siyata Dishmaya. There's a Sotan in Shamayim, in the Bez Din there, and he says, one second, it's not fair. Why did you give the Tzaddik Siyata Dishmaya? She gives the Rosh Siyata Dishmaya. Had you given him Siyata Dishmaya, he would be a Tzaddik as well. It's not fair. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tavayochel, gives a teretz to the Sotan, and he says, you're right, everything's fair. Why did I give him Siyata Dishmaya? Because he asked for it. If a person asks for it, that gives Tavayochel an excuse for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give him Siyata Dishmaya. Chazal tell us that for every tefillah, for ruchnius, you will be answered. So tefillah for gashmius, you might be told no. But for a tefillah for ruchnius, it's impossible. Every tefillah for ruchnius, you will be answered and you will get some siyata dishmaya. You will get guaranteed. So the Chaim Berman told me, he said, a Kodesh Baruch Hu said, give me a bracha. Give me a bracha. And what did Yishmael Ben Elisha do? What did he do? He said, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I beg of you, give Klal Yisrael Siyata Dishmaya. This is Nai Gimoyen Nifnim Mishuras Adin. The Yodanu Rachamech Omid Yisrael Nifnim Nai Gimoyen Nifnim Mishuras Rachamim. So they can stag in Ruchnius. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for you to daven and to beg for Siyata Dishmaya. It's the Kodesh Gadol in the Kodesh Kodshim. The power of Tefillah is tremendous. What are you going to do with these moments when the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says to Yishmael Kohen Gadol? He says, ask for the good of Klal Yisrael, because that is the greatest bracha Kaviyachal the person can give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need any praise. It's the machana for us that we're allowed to say Baruch HaTor Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need anything. But there's one Rotan Hashem, the chief Rotan Hashem is that Klal Yisrael should stay. And that's what Yishmael ben Elisha realized when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Baruch Hu, what bracha are you going to give me? What can you give me? You know what I can give you? A bakosha for the good in the ruchnis of Klal Yisrael. So the person has to realize that tefillah as well is a major, if not one of the main things, all the Gedolei Yisrael, they say that if you looked at their tefillah, it was a different tefillah than everyone else. The stipler in the corner there in the Lederman Shul in B'nai Barak, you see the little spot there in the corner where he davened, and people go there Erev Yom Kippur and Erev Rosh Hashanah just to say a few tehillim in that spot, because the tears for Klal Yisrael which went through his tefillahs. And in all the Gedolei Yisrael, they say the tefillah which they davened, and that's another key to Avodas Hashem and Ruchnius. We'll finish off with the last last couple of minutes. I heard an interesting shaila. In Meisrius Ha'Oner, apparently someone came to the Bris Gerov. Everyone knows there's a sofek whether the mitzvah of Sviras Ha'Oner every day is a specific mitzvah by itself, or that the mitzvah carries on the counting of the whole Sviras Ha'Oner. And the nafgamin is, if you forget one day in the middle of the Sefira, are you allowed to continue counting? Because we don't know whether it's one mitzvah. If you haven't counted in the middle, then the whole mitzvah's gone. So apparently someone came to the Bris Gerov and said to him, Bris Gerov, is it possible you could be motzi me the bracha? So Bris Gerov said, why? He said, well, because yesterday I forgot to say, and there was a sosek, and I'd rather you be motzi me. So Bris Gerov said, well, why are you asking me? You could have asked the guy, any guy in shul could be motzi you the bracha. So he said, yeah, but I'm worried that the guy in shul who I asked forgot, just like me. I can't trust him. Maybe one of the days of sphere he also forgot. So whoever I ask, he's in the same topic as me, so I'm worried. I don't want to ask him to be motzi me. But the Bris Gerov, I know you definitely, you're still saying the Sviras Ha'Oner with the bracha, I know 100% sure that you've definitely not forgotten anything. You haven't, and every day is Shalem, and therefore I would like you to be motzi me. The Bris Gerov looked at him and he says, Atam adavesh duyok. You're talking rubbish. The question is, why is he talking rubbish? Well, you can stop the tape now if you want to think about the answer and and then come back to the answer. The answer is as follows. Of course he's talking rubbish, because Mimonoshach. If the halacha is that the every day is a separate mitzvah, so then his friend, even if he missed, could be motzi him as well. Because even if he missed 5 days, every day is a separate mitzvah, and his friend could be motzi him as a bracha. However, if the halacha is, the real halacha is, that the Meisrius Ha'Oner one long bracha, then the Bris Gerov can't help him either. He's no better than anyone else, because at the end of the day, I'm not being motzi you, the mitzvah's gone. So therefore, Brisker told him, you know, your whole question doesn't make sense. It's interesting, the Brisker Rav in a second just told him, the Tomer Dabesh to York, you're coming with your Cheshbon, people don't realize, some people get away thinking for hours, well, it's a good thing, he wants to rely on Brisker Rav. We see the sharpness of Agadoli Yisrael. Mirtz Hashem, we should all be Zeicha to prepare properly in the Yizmei Sefira for the great event of Kabbalah Torah, and we should be Zeicha to Mashiach, to Kenu, Bimhera, V'Yomeinu, Amen.